Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Growingingrace.org is our website. Growing in Grace is the name of the podcast. Imagine that. This is Joel Brzezinski. That guy over there is Mike Kapler. How do you start a podcast? I mean, we've been doing this for so long. I don't know how to start a podcast.
Yeah.
What do you do? We've
never really seeked the Lord on that one.
Maybe it's in the Bible. How to do a podcast.
Joel, I went into a church recently, and the choir was singing "It Don't Come Easy" by Ringo Starr.
Okay.
That's how religion has made the gospel.
It don't come easy. Well, that's, yeah. You know.
I will say that was not based on a true story, but it could have been.
Well, we won't necessarily go here, but I told you beforehand, I've been listening to a podcast. A few weeks ago, we talked about comedians and how so many comedians, they've got the grace. There's a lot of, you can sense a lot of grace coming from, not all of them, but Tim Hawkins is one. I've really enjoyed watching his clips on social media, whether it's YouTube or Facebook Reels, and it popped up a few days ago. He did a clip where he says, his podcast is available. And I'm like, I didn't know he had a podcast. And you know how we've had listeners say they've gone back to the beginning and listened? Well, I went back to the beginning of his. He's been doing this since 2016, but he skipped a lot. So there's not a lot in those early years. So anyway, I went back and listened to an early podcast, very funny stuff. But he and a guest were talking about this idea that people have this idea of God that their relationship with him has to be, if it feels good, it can't be. It can't be a true relationship with God. It's got to be sacrificial or God won't accept it. You know, you got to be always groaning and it's got to be hard. You know, this idea that people have of God. That if it feels good, it's wrong. You know, but God came to give us life and more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us a light burden and an easy yoke. That's what he said. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Come to him for freedom. It's for freedom that he set us free. And if you think about it, you know, an earthly relationship with like a father or a spouse or a child. And if you think of an earthly relationship like that, like, oh, it's just got to be, if you're not sacrificing and if it's not hard, then do you really have a relationship with that person? Of course you wouldn't think of it that way. And I just loved how they were talking about that. And of course they added a lot of humor into it too. But I think it's a false idea that people have about God that he's this harsh taskmaster, like one of the parables, and that he's just waiting for us to mess up, and then he can just, you know, spank us and teach us the right thing, and you know, all that type of thing. And he's really a loving father, and he longs for us to know the freedom that he's given us. And that freedom is a good thing. People think of freedom as a bad thing. Well, if you have too much freedom, you're just going to go off and sin and do all these bad things. And they don't understand what freedom really is, I guess.
The love of God, it changed a lot for me once I began to just get a little glimpse of it. There's so much for us to try to relate to it, and I just don't think we'll be able to just based on some of the things that Paul wrote. It's so deep and wide, but hopefully we can bring some assurance to people out there who struggle with this sort of thing. I can't remember how many times I've mentioned something of either, you know, about God's love, Jesus the high priest, God's forgiveness, all the good things, you know, where the righteousness as a gift, righteousness of God. You mention some of these things, and then you'll hear from somebody who's gone to church most of their life, and they'll say, I've never heard this before. Mm. You know, I gave some broad generalities there, but they'll say, I've never heard this before. you know, about Jesus, the high priest, about the new covenant, about his forgiveness. It makes you wonder.
Yeah. What,
and I guess I was there too for quite a few years before some of this stuff became front and center for me. It's why we're here. It's why we're motivated to keep doing what we're doing. And we've mentioned this in the past, but, you know, we make no money from our podcast. We have no advertisers. If anything, we're Joel is, you know, putting some resources into it financially. And, of course, there's our time. But I guess it's an example. I haven't really stopped and thought about this in terms of us. I don't think about us doing this that much, but I guess this is just an example of people who want to. You know, we talk about the have-tos. Mm-hmm. We have to do this. How about if you just want to?
Yeah.
Nobody's making us do this.
Right.
We're not going to feel guilty if we don't do it. We're just motivated to do it. I guess it's just an inward motivation to do it, to try to help people come to a place where they're experiencing the love and the peace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That is really the motivation. You and I, we have come to a place in our lives, and we're growing in it all the time, of knowing God's love and grace and the peace of Christ. And we have a strong desire within ourselves to share that with other people. And fortunately, in the world today, we've got this avenue to do that. It's like, it makes it pretty easy, really. We sit here and record. I edit a little bit, and we end up, to make it, to put the music and all that stuff and put it on the internet, and there it is. That's as simple as it gets. And then the people out there, you listening, and you can share it with people, and people can be encouraged. That's really what it's about. We've never desired to make any money from it. That's not our motive at all. So and it's not about popularity, it's not about anything like that. We just want people to be encouraged. So that's why we do what we do. So
now, Joel, a couple of programs ago, you implied that you had a bone to pick with me. So I sit here with my arms crossed, waiting to hear what it is you have to complain about.
All right, I'm going to tell you what's for now. The way I'm going to approach this is really just a matter of sharing some perspectives. That's what we do here. I think this is a great thing to talk about, and I don't necessarily feel like I need to arrive at a good answer for this. And maybe I do. Maybe I do have what I feel is a good answer, and maybe not. And maybe talking through it, who knows? But we've been talking about faith a little bit, in the past couple weeks. And you had brought up Hebrews 12. I'll start, in Hebrews 11, the writer is talking about all these things that people did in faith. And then at the end, it says, all these people, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Then the writer goes on in what we know as chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and he's talking about those people who did things by faith, that great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, and a lot of versions say our faith, that word was added, a lot of versions do not include that, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So one perspective that people have shared is that Jesus is the author of our faith. So like, I have faith because Jesus, I'm being in general here, because Jesus authored it and he finishes it. He perfects my faith. And so that's what some people say. And there are people I know that universalists and others who will take that as far as saying, see, everybody is saved because Jesus authored and finished faith. And so it's a said and done deal. And I, of course, don't believe that. But so another perspective, and I think it was Jim Fowler on Facebook. I know some of our listeners might know of him, but he had shared a perspective on this quite some time ago, where he says that the author, and I'm going to put this in my own words, but Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. We look to this great cloud of witnesses, those who had faith. That's an example that we look to. We can look to their example. And we also look to the example of Jesus, who was the author and finisher of faith, meaning his own faith, the faith of Jesus. We look unto him and his example of faith. You know, people talk about the faith of Christ versus our faith. So that's one perspective. So it's not so much a bone that I have to pick. It's just that is one perspective, in that if Jesus is simply the author and finisher of everybody's faith, then, and I know that you would say, and I know you told me off the air that you're not saying that that means that everybody is saved, but a person could take that to that point, that if Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, then we have, the word faith means to be convinced of something. And so how can Jesus be the author of my faith? I'm the one who's persuaded. I'm the one who's convinced of something, because there are a lot of people who don't have that persuasion, who are not convinced. And so that's just, it's one perspective of this verse. And so from this point on, Cap is going to go start his own denomination, and I'm going to go start mine. And so it's now growing apart in grace, because we have different perspectives, maybe. I'm just kidding. But any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways that you could go, and maybe you almost start to feel like we will be losing the simplicity of our message, because you can get into the weeds here.
Yeah.
And speculate a lot, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Like you said earlier, and like we've said many times, especially recently, we provide perspectives, and a lot of times you and I are on the same page. I'm not saying that we aren't on the same page here. I just think sometimes there's a number of different ways to look at it.
And
you can walk away friends. But Jesus, you know, I think it's New American Standard. I had several different translations open. And I hear what you're saying about our faith versus just faith, that word may have been added. I think it's New American Standard that says, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith. So that puts another spin on it. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I think you and I would agree that faith, would you agree that faith is a gift?
It's it depends on the perspective. You know, because at one point Paul said that God has given to each a measure of faith, and in that context, what I believe Paul's talking about is believers and regarding the gifts that he's given them. So I guess this is, it's so good to talk about this stuff, because like I said, it really doesn't matter if we come to an agreement or the right answer, you know, so to speak. But if I'm saved by grace through faith, it's, I need to be convinced that God is real, and that God, that Jesus did the work. It's my conviction. This is how I see it anyway. It's my conviction that the cross was real, that Christ is real, that God provided Christ as a sacrifice. I've come to this. I don't know why do I believe? Why do I have faith? And other people have disbelief and don't believe. And so if it is a gift, why doesn't everybody have this gift? Why do I have it? So I maybe I'll leave it open-ended like that. Like, I don't know. Like, why? Why do I have the gift and others don't, if it's a gift?
But you would agree that believing and doing are not synonymous,
exactly, correct? Right, yep.
Okay.
Faith is not a work.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking some weeks ago about when Peter said, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well, that you didn't come up with that on your own.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, every person has the opportunity to have that same revelation or that same communique from God to them, from his heart to theirs, of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we're probably going to be running out of time here. So,
what's time?
Not that we really are running out of time. We can talk as long as we
wanted
to.
What's time anyway?
Yeah, it's not like we're rule keepers around here or anything. But let me throw something out there, Joel, because over the last few weeks, I know I've probably tipped over some sacred cows that were wearing bells.
Cowbells.
That was kind of a joke there, but you'll have to go back and listen. Sacred cows were being tipped over. I said some things that probably went against a lot of mindsets out there. It wasn't anything all that heavy, I don't think, but it probably got some people thinking. So let me throw this one out there, because I think it's a huge thing, and yet we hardly ever talk about it. Just give me a quick answer. Do you believe that young children, when they die, do they go to heaven?
And that's also a good question, where I don't know if there's a yes or no answer.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Mm-hmm. We can leave it at that. And you're probably getting to my point.
Mm-hmm.
Is most people that you talk to within Christendom will say that, you know, I mean, a baby dies, a toddler dies, a young child dies. You know, they're considered, you know, there's some sort of innocence or something there considered. And so it's just generally assumed, I think, by most people out there in Christianity that they would go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads me to the point where, when do they stop going to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
At what age exactly does somebody stop going to heaven? What age are they required to suddenly believe and lay claim on the name of Jesus Christ? And people who truly around the world, and I think it's underestimated by us here in this civilization, in this culture, I think it's underestimated how many people are out there around the world who never really hear the gospel, and they die without ever having a choice of yes or no, I believe or I don't believe. And so I throw that out there, Joel, not to get into a big theological debate about it, but just to let people know it's not always as black and white as we want to make it out to be. We have all these gray areas, but we act like they're not really there.
Mm.
And so where I usually end up these days compared to some years ago is I usually just find myself more on the side of God's grace and compassion. And I just tend to rest in that.
Yeah. And I do too. And with that, because of the fact that it's not as black and white as we would like it to be, then I don't have to have the answer on, is a solid answer on, does God give everybody faith? You know, the gift of faith. Do I believe because I've received the gift of faith? Or do I believe because I've heard the message and somehow something within me that's different than something, a decision that somebody else made to not believe? I don't know. I can't say that I know for sure why. And I can't say that I know for sure if someone hasn't ever had that opportunity, like, presented to them, you know, why some, you know, would some people show up in heaven and would some people not? Would they all show up in heaven if they were never given the opportunity? This definitely could be a long theological discussion, and that's not our point here, you know, because Romans 1, Paul talks about it's evident, you know, what's known, what can be known of him, he's shown it to everybody. Not through law, not through the Bible, but through what he's made. And so we could talk about that. And, you know, so where I'm content with leaving it is I don't know. And it's okay.
Well, now, I like that. I wish more people would just say we can't necessarily know for sure. Yeah. I don't know for sure.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. And the other thing I would point out, Joel, is you know what? The disciples, did they believe by faith? They saw the risen Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, more blessed are those who haven't seen. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah. And some doubted,
did they,
remember.
So were they saved by faith? Or was it just because, I mean, did they come to believe by faith when they saw the risen Jesus? Just a lot of little things that we kind of skim over, I think, sometimes.
Well, because remember, it's, you know, we talked about this not too long ago. Some doubted. They saw him, and some doubted.
Even after seeing him, yeah.
So, and that's, I think, the beauty of all this. When it comes down to where I've come to, at least, and where I'm coming at from this week, is that it's okay if our T's aren't crossed and our I's aren't dotted. God is certainly big enough to work all of this out, whether we all have a firm grasp on it or not. And I think that many of us think that we have a firm grasp on things, and we really don't. And I'm content with that. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I think God's bigger than all that.
I think so too.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.